Good morning. It is a pleasure I have to be able to speak to you today. I enjoy more than anything else in the world to talk about God and the Scripture. The things we say today I hope will be uplifting and thought-provoking. It would if this thing worked. That's the year. It ain't working, Si. There it goes. Back up. Okay, now we're ready. We're supposed to start with a black screen because we're going to be talking about the first seven verses dealing in Genesis. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created in the beginning. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. No light, darkness. And the face of God moved upon the face of the waters, it says. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. There was light. Day one. And God said, let the waters, under the firmament be gathered together in one place, and let the dry ground appear. God said, and it was so. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day. We could spend a whole lifetime just studying these seven verses. But our lesson today is going to be on faith. Back in the 50s and going into the 60s, most people actually believe chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis. They believe God created the heavens and earth. But beginning in somewhere around the 70s and 80s, they started teaching the theory of evolution. And when I was in high school, it was a theory of evolution. Now they teach it as fact. And from the kindergarten age all the way up, the last three or four generations have been indoctrinated with the premise that that didn't happen that way. God didn't create the heaven and earth. That's just an old wives' tale. The earth is millions of years old. And so the faith in God has been undermined, and it is being undermined continually in our society. I've titled the lesson. I have titled it. Yeah, there you go. A single grain of sand. A single grain of sand. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we should all be familiar with, is a great verse on faith. It says, faith is, I want you to think about that. It's the same thing it says, God is. Faith is as a present tense. Faith is that which we have in our character, in our being, if we're children of God. It is the substance, the ground, the foundation, the bedrock of our lives. No foundation can any man lay than that foundation which was laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. It is the reason we have hope. Hope is based on that foundation of Jesus Christ. Faith is also the evidence of things not seen. Did you see God say, let there be light? No, you did not. Did you see all the wonders of the creation? No, we did not. But do we believe that God said, let there be light? Yes, we do. We have faith that what we have read and what we have been taught is true and correct and right. So let's look at some characteristics of men of faith. You know, the Bible is full of men of faith. What do these characterized men have in common? Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent with God. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That walk is a manner of life. Our manner of life is by faith, not by sight. A man of God, for the which cause I suffer these things, Paul said. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said he knew, he was fully persuaded. So are men of faith. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what things? 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 5. If you add to your faith virtue, if you add to your virtue knowledge, add to your knowledge temperance, you add to your temperance patience, you add to your patience godliness, and to godliness you add love. If these things be in you, okay, if you do these things, God, who cannot lie, has promised you shall never fall. A man of faith has confidence in his salvation. But we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. None of us saw Jesus walk in this earth. None of us saw Lazarus come from the grave, or the blind man receive his sight. But we believe the eyewitnesses, the testimony given, the Holy Scripture. We have confidence and faith in that. Men of faith believe the testimony given. That's the problem in the world today. They don't want to believe the evidence given. They want to think that everything happens by evolution. And their only explanation for the creation to begin with is a giant explosion of some sort. They just happened to throw everything throughout the galaxies in place. And they think that's wiser and smarter than believing in a deity. They have become fools. Jesus told Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. We are here receiving a special blessing from God because we believe based on the evidence presented. We know and are assured of God and the promises he made. So in summary, man of faith. Come on. There you go. Is confident. Is fully persuaded. I'm confident. Diligently works. Faith is of no value. In fact, I would tell you, you don't have faith unless you and let that faith motivate you to action. We're diligently working for self-improvement. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. We take an active part in allowing faith to move us to obedience. We're unwavering trust in the evidence presented. We know we have salvation. That is a man of faith. So now let's consider for a few minutes. Men of faith. How did they exhibit these traits of confidence and persuasion and trust? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is a book on the faithful, if you all, the hall of fame of faith for men. The writer goes in and talks about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. And we gain a lot by looking at these men because these men were men of faith. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to look at men of faith in book Hebrews 11. We're going to look at men of faith in our first we want to look at, if we can get this thing to work, is Stephen. We don't always think about these men as men of faith. We do Abraham. When you say Abraham, what immediately comes to your mind? There was a man of faith. But think about Stephen. Right on the heels of the Lord being crucified, just a few weeks have passed. Peter and John have been scourged. That wasn't just a verbal. They were beaten. James had been beheaded. Stephen is now arrested and demanded to give an account. So Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7 is recorded. One of the greatest sermons ever preached. I mean, he starts off at Abraham and takes the audience right through to the Christ. And every word he told them about Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they were all saying, yeah, now here is a hostile crowd. The people there were the very ones that had crucified Jesus Christ just weeks before. They were definitely a hostile crowd. And yet they were silent. Could not say a word. Why? Because everything he was saying was, they'd been studying that for 1,000 years in their synagogues. It's not like they didn't know about Abraham, Jacob, Moses. But a man of faith always stands and speaks the truth. A man of faith always stands and speaks the truth. So Stephen didn't sidestep. He didn't waver in his speaking truth. In verse 51, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Come on. "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now betrayers and murderers. And you have received the law by the disposition of angels, but have not kept it." A man of faith speaks the truth even when it's not popular, and even when the audience don't want to hear it. What do? They stone Stephen to death, calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen was a man of faith, someone we need to be thinking about it and imitating in our lives. "This is the condemnation," John says, "that light is come into the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Our second example of faithful men is Peter and John, two of the apostles. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." This is the governmental authority. They're the ones that had the rule over the society. And they called these men together, "Don't teach no more. Don't say anything about this man." But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Men of God cannot but speak the things they've heard. So when they further threaten them, they let them go. Our third example we want to look at are the apostles themselves, men of faith. "When the high priest rose up, and they all that were with him, which are the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them into common prison. But the angel of God by night came and opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Run, go hide.'" That ain't what he said. He said, "Go to the temple and teach the people the words of life." talk about courage and faith. Here these men were imprisoned, and now they're free. And what are they doing? Going right back to doing the same thing they were doing before. Then came one of the other people and said, "Behold, the men which you put in the prison is standing in the temple and teaching the people." And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with this doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But what do we know about those men? Not just a few weeks ago, they were sitting in the court of Pilate saying, 'Let his blood be upon us and our children.'" Well, they're not really too happy with that concept. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God. Men of faith obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted at his right hand to be prince and a savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of in these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, which God has given to us that obey him." And when he had heard this, they were cut to the heart. Now in Acts 2, Peter preached a very similar sermon, and they also were cut to the heart. But those men humbled themselves and repented and obeyed the gospel. These men just sought to slay them. Their hearts were hard as concrete, unwilling to hear, even though the evidence was there. Our fourth example is Cornelius. We don't always think about Cornelius being an example of faith, but Cornelius was a faithful man, a man of faith. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band of the Italians, and now sent to Joppa, God showed him in a vision, and called Peter. "Immediately, therefore, I have sent for thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." When he says we're here to hear all things, it's inferred and do whatever it is God has told us to do. And this day, this very hour, we here are all here in the presence of God to hear what God has got to say. It is no less true now than it was back then. Our fifth example is the Ethiopian eunuch, a Gentile, a proselyte of the Jewish religion, a man of faith. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, a great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." There is a tremendous amount of valuable information in that verse. What do we know about this man? Well, he was a proselyte of the Jewish religion. According to Google, it takes, 66 hours to drive from Ethiopia to Jerusalem in a car. Think how long it took this man in a chariot to make that trip. After this man of God gets all the way to Jerusalem, what do you think happens? He wants to worship God, but is not permitted to go into the temple. He's a eunuch. He had to stand outside. It's like a person coming to church, but they had to stay in the parking lot. They weren't allowed in the building. Think about the faith it took to travel over 1,000 miles to be told you got to wait outside. And yet, we have trouble sometimes coming to church 20 miles down the road in an air-conditioned car. And what was he doing on his way home? He was reading Isaiah. A man of faith gives himself to study, meditate, inquire, from the scriptures what God would have him know. And Philip opened his mouth and began to same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now we don't know what he said. We don't know how long he took. It could have been he talked to the eunuch for 3 or 4 days. We don't know. All we do know is as Philip was teaching him about Jesus, the eunuch says, and as they came on their way, they came to certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" A man of faith desires to be obedient to God. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ." Every Christian in this room has made that same confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. So what shall I say more? That's the dilemma the writer of Hebrews had, because there's a whole host of people he could have. In fact, he's listed a few: Gideon and Samuel and Samson and so forth. Well, I ran out of time too. We could talk about Luke, Matthew, Paul, James, Antipas, Lydia, Silas, Timothy, Titus. There's a whole host of people we could look to see men of faith. Men and women of faith are confident, fully persuaded, diligent in their transformation, trust in the evidence presented, know they have eternal life. But without faith, Hebrews says, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we can all agree, these men were all men of faith. These men were men that you can admire and look to and say, boy. But that's not the question. That's not the question. What is the question that you need to ask? Are you truly a man of faith? That's the question. We know they were. The question is, are we men of faith? Acts 8:4, and they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. They went everywhere. And everywhere they went, what were they doing? They were opening their mouth and talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, he says, came to seek and to save the lost. What should we be doing? What should we be doing if we are men of faith? John 17, Jesus' prayer, Jesus says, "As thou, Father, hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." The task God assigned to Jesus when he came into the world is the same task Jesus has assigned to you and I. Now in this context, the them is talking about the apostles specifically, but by extension it applies to any child of God. Hebrews 10, you have need of patience that you, after you have done the will of God. You know, there's going to be a lot of folks showing up at the judgment seat wanting salvation, but haven't done anything. They haven't done the works God gave them to do. They come empty-handed, if you will, that you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. For the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, I shall have no pleasure in them. And we think about this in terms of the persecutions. You know, Stephen could have shrunk back. He could have, oh. But there's more to that than what we see. Drawing back could be a man of God who obeys the gospel, who then gets too involved with his job, his education, his family, his house, his retirement. Things of this life can clutter our minds and pull us away from the mission and purpose God has given to us. The just shall live by faith. Fear none of those things which you suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. 10 days. In Revelation, numbers infer times, sequences, and amounts. Not so much the number. 10 days is a short period of time. You're going to be troubled and suffer these persecutions a short period of time. But it's going to be right up to and including your death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. There ain't no retirement program in the church. As long as you got breath in your lungs, God expects you to be doing His work. You can't retire, Harry, from being a preacher or a teacher. Now, as we get older, we are limited on what we can do. But we need to be about God's business. Are we men of faith? Are we men of faith? That is the question. Should we obey God or man? God said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Did He not say that? We all know He said it. Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Is that a suggestion? If it's convenient? Governor Cooper says, don't assemble together. May get people sick. Is there any reason why we should not keep the commandment of God? What should a man of faith do? That's for you to judge. In conclusion, that was the heavy part. We're going to be a little bit lighter. A single grain of sand. There is not one grain of sand in all the earth that's exactly like any other grain of sand. It's like you and I. None of us have the same fingerprint. None of us are exactly the same. Yeah, we're all pretty similar. We're going to let this grain of sand represent 100 years. A person's life would not even fill up one grain of sand. Everybody's life has different stories to tell. But for sure, you won't live long enough to fill up one grain of sand. See, my grains are still running. Go to now, you that say tomorrow, or today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For He knows, it says in Psalms, our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, he flourishes. And the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Job said, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower, is cut down, and flees like a shadow, and continues not. Your life would not even contain a field of one sand. My grain, about 75% full. My mother, her grain's 90-some-odd% full. These little kids here, they just got started. But for sure, their time also will pass by as quickly as that sand flowing in that jar. And no matter how much you want to slow it down, it don't slow down. It don't speed up. It just keeps passing by. And so often we fail to appreciate time is not forever. We need to be active in the work of God. So how important is your life in the grand scheme of things? For there's no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is today, to come shall not all be forgotten. And how dies the wise man as the fool? The wind passes over and he's gone. Do you think it really would matter at all if you're white or black? If you had a PhD or a third grade dropout? If you own 3 houses and 6 cars or are penniless sleeping under a tree? If you were married with 12 children or an old maid? Any of that make any difference in the real scheme of things? Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesses. That which you desire more than God is idolatry. Be it a job, family, wealth, whatever it is, beware. Your life does not consist of those things. All those things are going to pass away. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Your life can be contained in a single grain of sand. What manner of person ought you to be? That's what Peter asked. In view of eternity, what manner of person ought you to be? Your life can be contained in a single grain of sand. How significant is time of your life? Go to the Sahara Desert and pick up 1 grain of sand. Do you think anybody even noticed it was gone? If you picked up 1 grain of sand in the Sahara Desert, anybody, wow, this thing really changed. In light of the very insignificant amount of time we have to live, what manner of person ought you to be? You have a minute period of time. The scripture warns us. You're like a vapor. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night's going to come when no man can work. We are all in God's hands. Every single grain of sand, representing every single person that's ever lived or will live, is in God's hands. What should the men and women of faith be? Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Your entire life, that's what your life is keeping God's commandments. For God will bring everything into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God does not give false promises. He has promised to come, and he will. He has promised to judge, and he will. He's promised to cast all those whose name is not written in the book of life into Gehenna, and he will. If you're a Christian and have begun to walk in faith but have slipped away from the path, it's easy to do. You got sidetracked. You fell into things you shouldn't have fallen into. You need to repent and seek the congregation's prayer. God is faithful to forgive. If you're not become a man of faith, we stand ready to assist you in that. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. So if you have any need at all, come while we stand and sing.